You know what? It's been a long week. From the death penalty to debtors' prisons and children's books with a purpose, we have run the gamut. So, as we do every Friday, let's take a breath. We've gathered a group of smart people to help us kick back, unwind, and think about what the heck happened this week. It's time for the break room.
Comey wrote a number of memos. A great many were about contacts with Trump.
All right, well, I'm going to go confuse everyone on Facebook with a so sad, terrible day status and nothing more.
The most amazing thing that happens to you on a night like this is the ride that you have in the cab.
The only thing you've been doing for the last 2 weeks is just laying there watching TV and buffing out your nails.
How do they look?
Joining us in the break room, Robbie Medwid, Atlanta-based LGBT educator and activist, Jessica Szilagyi. Hello, Jessica.
Good morning.
Joining us remotely from Savannah, she's a writer and blogger there. HB Cho is a reporter for the Korean Daily, and Kathy Lohr, journalist and former NPR correspondent. Hello, everyone. You made it to Friday.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, so let's talk about happy news first, at least for those up here in Atlanta. I don't know how much it affects you, Jessica, but I-85 reopened way ahead of schedule, as we know all too well. Part of that highway collapsed 6 weeks ago. It was originally slated to open on June 15th. But GDOT officials offered a $3 million plus incentive to the contractors if they could get it done sooner, and they did. And here's the question, was it worth more than $3 million?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Not even a question. Yeah.
You bet.
Well, everybody here thinks it was. Jessica, what do you think?
I have to agree. Even though I think they set a date that they knew they could beat, I think it was still worth it.
Okay. I mean,
so my question is, why don't they set these incentives more often so that other projects get done on time or ahead of schedule?
Oh, that's a very good question, and I don't know. But then maybe wouldn't everyone say, well, repairing this pothole is going to take me 2 weeks? Wouldn't they all, like, overestimate the time it would take in order to get the bonus?
Don't they already?
Oh, come on now. All right, let's move on to taxis. Does anyone still hail a cab outside New York City?
You know, isn't it incredible the chances that these guys take with your life and that you're so calm in the back seat, you know, because they got that glass partition and you're just watching them. It's like it's happening on television, you know? You know, he's flying around the road, and you're going, boy, that looked dangerous.
Face it. Ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft, they're just more popular than cabs. Atlanta taxi drivers sued the state in an effort to ban those services. But this week, the Georgia Supreme Court shot that down. They ruled in favor of Uber and Lyft's right to operate here. So, look, when was the last time you actually hailed a cab?
Like 2 weeks ago. Here in Atlanta.
Wow. Here in Atlanta, even.
I had to get back from downtown to my home, which is out north. So I took Uber down there. Great ride. Cheap. Couldn't get Uber back. So ended up with a cab who was unaware that 85 was closed.
Oh, wow.
So we ended up on 85. This was late at night in a huge traffic jam with somebody who was very unhappy. And we're like, and you didn't know 85 was closed? And he said, I haven't been driving for like 4 or 5 days, and I thought, you haven't been driving
for 6 weeks.
Exactly.
So even though, like, there are cabs around, there's a little known law I've found recently that it's actually illegal to hail a cab from the street in Atlanta. You can't do that. You can only go to a set taxi stand. Huh. You have to get it from
what's
stand.
The benefit of hailing a
That's
cab?
Right. I have no idea, but I've worked events where we've even asked, can we set up a temporary taxi stand because we know there'll be alcohol, that stuff, and the city says no. And technically, you can't actually hail one. So, no, I haven't taken a cab.
So, Kathy Lohr broke the law.
Well, technically, I walked to a nearby hotel and got one.
Right. So, they can do that. And then the airport has a taxi stand and hotels can call them. But if you're on the street and you see one, theoretically, you're not supposed to flag it down.
All right. I really need to find out why. Crazy. What's the purpose of that? HB?
I mean, there are a few underground taxi cab companies still operating. So if you,
I know you don't mean they're driving underground. So what does that mean, an underground taxi
means,
company?
There are a number of Korean taxi companies. So they're technically, I think, limousine companies.
Yes,
but they are still very cheap. So they can still compete with Uber. And if you live in if you are around where a lot of the Asian businesses are up in Grant County, most of them arrive within 5 to 10 minutes. So they can still manage to compete with Uber.
But you still call them. You don't hail them.
Exactly. You still call them.
I have had a time where I was in D.C. and I used Uber, and it was a cab that came to pick me up. The cab driver was actually using Uber.
Oh, he was doubling down.
He was doubling down, so he was doing both at the same time. If he wasn't getting hailed, then he hopped onto Uber and picked up people.
Jessica, have you hailed a cab recently?
Not down here in the country, no.
Savannah is not the country.
I don't live in Savannah.
That's true. Fair enough. Okay. We want to hear from those of you out there. When was the last time you hailed a cab? Actually, put your arm out and hailed a cab. Let us know. 404-500-9457. Or you can find us on Twitter. You know how to reach us. Okay. At this point, we may all be just sick of surprises from the Trump administration.
Director Comey was in the Oval Office on February 14th briefing President Trump. After the briefing was over, the president asked the vice president and the attorney general to leave the room. And then the president said, quote, "I hope you can see your way to letting Flynn go."
Former FBI Director James Comey released a memo that says President Trump asked him to end his investigation of Michael Flynn. Without audio tapes like those found during Watergate, though, is this Comey's word versus Trump's? What could happen next?
Well, if I had my way, everybody in the administration would
that's
resign.
What
we'd
you
start
want
over.
To
yes,
ask
that's what I want to happen next.
Yeah. Let me go to Kathy Lohr.
I want the truth to come out. First, it is one word versus another. We don't have the evidence right now. So whatever that is, I want to know what the connections were between Trump and his former campaign officials and Putin and the Kremlin. I want to know whether he did do these things. But, you know, I've talked to a bunch of people in my area who are Trump supporters, and they don't believe that Trump, that there's anything that now would convince them that Trump has actually done anything wrong. Yeah.
Interesting. Jessica, what do you think? What might happen next?
Well, I want to piggyback on what Kathy said because about the truth. I mean, we keep pretending like this is a partisan issue and it's divided down the middle. I mean, when has the truth and when have facts ever been partisan? When has the FBI been a partisan thing? It's out of control. The partisanship is killing us.
The thing is, though, is that we didn't really get the truth about Watergate until recently. You know, it's been a trickle of releasing some of the information and what went on behind us. So, you know, I don't know if we're going to get the truth for quite some time.
And when the White House is trying its best to either conceal or to divert our attention to something else, then I think they can at least drag it for a long time. And the big thing that I'm really worried about is one way Trump can divert attention is to start something major, something new and something shiny, which is
like bombing people yesterday.
You're referring to the reports that the American planes bombed a convoy of pro-government fighters in Syria. And may be arming the Kurdish rebels, which will not make Turkey very happy. Yes, happened
that
yesterday.
Kind of
but go, continue, HBO.
But there, that, and also there's another kind of glowing thing that's asking us to bomb us, which is
North Korea.
Kim Jong-un. Yeah, and I think that's gotta be on Trump's head, and I really wish that he doesn't install another red button on his desk that is actually going to send something physical, across the ocean.
Well, and this is the question, because, of course, it is much easier to it's much easier in some ways to campaign when you have a foil, right? You have someone to campaign against than it is to just be the person in.
True. But in fairness, he's still campaigning. All of his speeches are still campaign speeches. He's still going on about that kind of stuff. You know, he walks around with a copy of the electoral map in his pocket to bring out whenever he has nothing else to say.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah. Not in pocket, but like he's brought it out at meetings. He's talked about things. Yes, they're hanging it up in the White
House.
They
are hanging up a copy of the electoral map in the White House. Yeah.
Yeah, he's still campaigning, and he's never really stopped.
Do you guys, Jessica, let me ask you this. Do you unplug to get away from the constant headlines?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm all about state and local politics anyway, so this has just been belabored in TV and in media. They're just, there's no stopping it. It's constant.
Kathy, do you unplug?
Not very often.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Because you feel like you can't.
No.
Right?
I just said before we get in, is there anything happened in the last 2 hours that I didn't see? Just before we walked in here, you know? Did something happen? Did Trump
tweet
something?
Yeah, you go see a movie and you're like, what happened while I was watching Guardians of the Galaxy? HBO, do you unplug?
I tried, but I really couldn't. There's something groundbreaking every single day. And I guess I'm gonna get used to it at some point, and you know, feel, you know, make nothing of it when I see the alert on my smartphone and then just ignore it.
But that's scary.
That is scary.
All right, so let's move on to the second question. In the 3 minutes that we have left, we'll get back to this one now, Robbie, because the first question is, what do you think will happen next? Now let's ask, what do you want to happen next?
Well, I was pretty clear. I would love for the entire administration just to just go away. Let's just pretend it never happened.
Democratically elected.
Yes, I understand. No, realistically, I want the special prosecutor to do a really thorough job. I want people to cooperate. I want there to not be secrets. I want people not to be afraid of giving all of the information they have so we can really figure out exactly what happened.
Jessica, that sounds like you would agree with that.
Yes, but then what happens after that? I mean, I think a lot of people are confusing, you know, the idea of impeachment with him actually being removed from office. And it's just, what happens after this? Are we going to be more broken?
Wait, what do you mean? You think that if he's impeached, he won't leave office?
Well, Clinton didn't.
Yeah.
that is
true.
I feel, Kathy, do you think people understand impeachment or how?
No, I don't think there's enough Republicans willing to go that way. And it would have to be a Republican Congress who would be approving that, drafting articles of impeachment and then voting for it. And I also, what I would like to see is evidence come out. Something that the letters, something hardcore that people can't say this didn't happen, because now we've got so many stories going on. I want to see something in black and white.
Right. Everyone wants a smoking gun, and some people say that's the Comey memo and some people don't. So HB Cho, what would you want to happen next?
I mean, obviously I want this investigation to take its course, and then let's find out what the truth is. And historical data suggests that when but 3.5% of the population goes out in the street and protest in peacefully, then almost certainly the leader is going to be replaced. And I think if the investigation does find something, then I think it is very possible, because we've seen the reaction the day after the inauguration and you know, the following massive protests. I think, you know, there are potential for kind of massive demonstrations like that to grow if we have a smoking gun. At that point, you know, I think politically is everything's possible.
Okay, we are hanging out in the break room. It is Friday, and with us we have HB Cho, Robbie Medwed, Jessica Szilagyi, and Kathy Lohr. Just ahead, John Goodman cheats death somehow, and ABC cashes in. That's next on From On Second Thought. It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headley. We are having coffee and conversation in the break room, as we do every Friday. My guests are Jessica Szilagyi, writer and blogger in Savannah, HB Cho, reporter for The Korean Daily, Kathy Lohr, former NPR correspondent, and Robbie Medwed, LGBT educator and activist. And we want to say a big thank you to Savannah Coffee Roasters. They donate the coffee that fuels our brains in the break room. They are online at savannahcoffee.com. We love our coffee, speaking of coffee, but is it possible that you can love it too much? A South Carolina teenager, Davis Allen Cripe, died last month after ingesting too much caffeine.
But Davis, like so many other kids and so many other people out there today, were doing something they thought was totally harmless, and that was ingesting lots of caffeine.
His heart stopped. He had drunk a large Mountain Dew, a McDonald's latte, and a sports drink over the course of 2 hours or less. So, do we forget that caffeine is a drug that can be dangerous?
I think we do. I mean, I don't think we need to regulate it. I don't think we need to stop people, but we don't talk about it in the same way. I remember when I was growing up, you know, it was very much this is not for kids, this is an adult thing. And you know, we talked about it with a little bit more reverence. And you know, there was even a Saved by the Bell episode about caffeine pills and addiction to caffeine pills. And I'm so excited. I'm so scared. That sticks with you. I don't want to be that Jesse Spano.
Only Robbie would bring up a Saved by the Bell.
That's funny. Totally different. In my house, we had coffee from the time we were like, you know, kids, young kids, because it was always in my house. Very strong. We called it the Black Death.
Huh.
Because it was so strong. But, and my mom drank it all day. Now, we didn't really as kids, but I will say that I have a love of coffee. But I do know that these caffeine drinks, I have never had
the energy drinks.
The energy drinks, yeah, that are like three times as much caffeine. And I think there should be some warnings, like tobacco growers had to put warnings on cigarettes.
So they have a lot of the warnings, and you know they've discontinued some of the products, like Four Loko, and they got rid of that. But there are others that are still around.
They're in the you know, convenience stores in barrels when you go in.
Yeah, and there were health problems when people would combine, say, Red Bull with alcohol.
Right.
Jessica, do we not treat caffeine with the respect it deserves?
I mean, I agree with what Robbie said, and I think that we've gotten to this point where we assume that if something's on the shelf, that it's safe because it's, you know, there's nothing stopping us. You don't have to ask anyone behind a counter. We just assume that it's safe, and that's not the case here.
I think we are mistaken about our portions in general.
Yeah.
You got that right.
Right. When as Americans, when we take up a new thing, we go big or go home, right?
So absolutely.
Even coffee is a lot of the Europeans, they have a lot smaller cups.
Yeah, mugs are, you know, the giant 27-ouncer.
Yeah, you get espresso in Italy, and it's that little tiny
thing.
It's 6 ounces or 4 ounces. Yeah.
Mega mug.
Right.
So we're blaming this on Starbucks, basically.
Sure. Yeah,
pretty much with their Trente, that 30-ounce
thing. Yeah.
Okay, speaking of addictions, be honest here. How much time do you spend on Facebook?
Hey, you ever check Joe's Facebook?
Oh, I know. Awful.
Hidden Cheesecake Factory again. So amped. And then the symbol that means wink. Really? I mean, like, why the wink? I mean, is there something that we're supposed to be in on? Is he not going there? Is he not amped? And who cares if he is?
So the New York Times says social media is making us miserable, and that shouldn't shock anybody. The pressure to look good or sound good or impress others can actually cause a great deal of stress and give you heart trouble, in fact. Why can we not quit it? Do we think that this is an actual addiction at this point?
Yeah, not even a little bit. Like, the way I doubt this, without a doubt, it is. I think a lot of it comes down to our need to be validated. Are we getting enough likes? Are we getting enough interaction? Are people paying attention to us? Without a doubt, we put that stuff out there because it's a way to connect to other people without ever having to actually connect to other people.
Yeah, because people can be annoying, right?
Well, people are terrible.
Jessica.
They are annoying. But I would say that, too, you know, as you get young, as you go down the generations, the younger they are, the bigger part of their life that it is because they were brought up in it. Whereas, you know, people my age had it only for a little bit of college and then afterwards, and our parents didn't have it at all. So I think that the younger you are, the more you've just never known anything different. That's the way you communicate.
I don't take it too seriously. I mean, and I don't post. People say, you should post more often. Okay, what am I going to post, a picture of my lunch? I mean, I don't. Or what?
In some cases, the answer would be yes.
Right. So I don't know. I think it definitely is an addiction. And I think that it was very interesting that some of the people who were researching it said that on Facebook, that when people described their husband, it was the best, my best friend, amazing, and then went on.
Right, they found the most common words.
Right, and then on Google, when there was a search, which is more, they think, honest, because no one's watching you Google search, you know, it was a jerk, annoying. My husband is a jerk, annoying, and mean. So I don't think people are posting necessarily what's in their heart.
Mother's Day was interesting for me because a lot of my Facebook friends apparently dug up the photos from their mother's entire life. So went through her photo album and then took out like when they were you know, 9 years old to when they were, you know, when they're like the 60s or 70s, and wrote really kind of touching long letters on Facebook. And for whom? I wasn't too sure.
Because their moms weren't on Facebook.
Probably.
Right. They got to compete.
For themselves.
So I didn't get to say before, but I do take time off social media. Like, I'll go for like a full day sometimes, like with that kind of stuff. And if I go out of town, and I got to say, I really do feel better about life when I take time off of social media. I come back to it and I'm, you know, often on Twitter and that kind of stuff. But I really am happier when I'm not on it so much.
You can give us your response to that. You know how to reach us. Find us on Facebook.
or on Twitter.
We have a tweet from John who says, when I was in high school, I didn't drink. He's referring back to the caffeine discussion. So when I went to parties, I drank Mountain Dew. It might have been worse than the beer. And then he sends another tweet. Validate me again.
Hi, John.
All right. So let's talk about TV, another addiction. Nostalgia is actually fueling a lot of reboots of TV shows from the past. Here's an example.
In the 15 years we've been married, has there ever been one morning where there wasn't any coffee?
No.
Then why do you have to ask me every morning if there's coffee?
Is there toast?
So, Roseanne is returning, and so is John Goodman, despite the fact that he quite famously died in the course of the show. I mean, the actor is totally fine. ABC's president says there's really no one better to comment on our modern America than Roseanne. Agree or disagree? Like or dislike?
Sure. Maybe they could comment, but...
You'll watch?
No, I definitely won't be watching. I won't watch. It doesn't sound fun to me at all. I've found that, you know, very few things in life are as good as they were in the past, and I'd rather just leave it there. And I feel like I know too much about Roseanne and modern politics and everything that I don't want to pay attention to her anymore. I think she had her moment, and I think that moment is over. I will say, though, I am kind of excited for the new Will and Grace. So,
see, you're just biased.
Yes.
Jessica?
I don't think I'll be watching either. And while I do appreciate the fact that, you know, it's the only show of its type, most of the time we're watching doctors and lawyers and this is different, I don't think it's going to have the same success.
I appreciate the sarcasm, actually, but I don't think I'll be watching either. On the other hand, they're rebooting Twin Peaks, and I am looking forward to that.
So everyone's just got their pet reboots.
Or X-Files. Will and Grace would be okay.
Netflix is working on a new series based on The Dark Crystal from Jim Henson, and they're partnering with Jim Henson Studio. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
HB?
I've never watched Roseanne. I know what it is, but I've never watched it growing up.
Will you watch it?
Probably not. I mean, I love Modern Family, that show. So if it's something
they're
like
nothing
that.
Alike.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Nothing.
I'm just waiting for my Friends reboot. That would be interesting.
Oh, the reboot of Friends. I don't think that's going to happen, HB. I'm sorry to bother you. In any case, if you're just joining us, we are hanging out in the break room. We've got HB Cho with us, reporter for The Korean Daily. Kathy Lohr, a former NPR correspondent, Robbie Medwed, an LGBT educator and activist, and Jessica Szilagyi, Savannah-based writer and blogger. And we have this tweet from Rabbit who says, it's harder to reboot All in the Family. Boy, isn't that true. All right. Sometimes a pet can be your best friend.
You know what my life is like? It's pathetic. I'm always just
hanging out and smoking weed with your neighbor's dog.
Exactly.
Going on crazy adventures, having a truly unique and remarkable friendship.
Doesn't sound so bad when you say it like that.
No, it doesn't, mate.
That is from Wilfred.
Great show.
which is a great show. But an op-ed in The Federalist criticizes the rise of so-called fur babies, pets, in lieu of children. The author thinks we anthropomorphize our pets too much in the U.S., and he proposes having pets instead of children might be classified as a mental disorder. All right. First of all, show of hands or voices, Jessica. Who has a pet?
Nope.
I do.
Nope.
Yes.
Okay. Jessica, fess up. Do you anthropomorphize your pet?
Absolutely. Shady and Stella are way better than most kids. They are two Labradors. They are smart. They are fun. And if this is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Kathy, do you spoil your dog?
Yes. I'm like, oh, yes. Well, it's a, quote, rescue dog, which is really funny because it said in the article that if you call them rescue, you're already, like, it's too late. You're
right.
Gone. Supposedly. Instead of saying, I got a dog, I rescued a dog. Well, she rescued me. That's how I look at it.
Oh, see, you're really far gone.
No, but I don't dress her up. I don't, you know, I don't do any of that.
I do.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
They do political signs, though, not like... You know, they endorse people.
You put T-shirts on your what kind of dog is this?
I have two labs.
Okay, and you put T-shirts on them.
Political T-shirts, yeah.
So I'm not an animal person. I have no desire to have an animal, but if it brings people happiness and joy and comfort, then I'm all for it. That's great. And I really do feel the need to say that Federalist calls everything they disagree with a mental disorder. That's their brand, right? Their goal is to really just negate everything they disagree with in the harshest way possible. So from them, I'm willing to just write it off and throw it away.
I have a question for dog owners. Is it rude for me to call your dog, I mean, refer to your dog as an it?
You may not know the sex of the pet.
Right, right.
No.
But I feel like some people that I know around me that own dogs would take offense to that because...
Well, once you know the name of my dog, and it's a girl dog, then you should say she.
And our director, Whitney, says she has a fur baby and puts outfits on her cat, Siggy.
Oh.
Yeah, which
Wait,
I feel
outfits
like,
on a cat?
Yeah, I feel like we need photographic proof.
I feel like that would be painful.
So we can mock her.
Yeah.
Anyway, we definitely want to see. If you put outfits on your pets, there is no judgment here, regardless
no,
of what
no,
I just said.
No, there's lots of judgment
no,
from
No, not
here.
From me. Yeah. Only from Robbie.
From
but he's,
lots.
But he's judgy in general.
Yes.
We want to see the pictures, absolutely, because let's be honest, there's nothing cuter than like a pug in a sailor suit. I mean, come on, that's adorable.
Oh,
so send them to us. Post them on Facebook. You can tweet them at this as well. All right. One of my 20-something producers tells me he had avocado toast for breakfast this morning. But maybe if he didn't spend all that money on avocados, he could buy a house. That's what real estate mogul Tim Gerner said on Australia's version of 60 Minutes.
When I was trying to buy my first home, I wasn't buying. Smashed avocados for $19 and four coffees at $4
each. So you reckon that's real? That people actually, young people, actually end up just spending their money and then whinge about the fact they can't get into the property market?
Oh, there's no question it's real.
All right. Is it possible that millennials are struggling because their lifestyles are too expensive? Or is that another version of get off my lawn? Kathy?
I think it's really strange when you have real estate moguls and millionaires giving advice to millennials or any kind of regular people saying it's your $19 toast. I think we're being a little bit too hard on millennials.
I think in general, but yeah.
Yes, in general and for the last one with the pets, there was more millennials. I don't know. I think it's... I don't think it has anything to do with eating avocado toast. I think homes are more expensive.
They are.
It's harder to save the down payment, 20%, generally speaking.
Yeah, or more.
And it depends on what city you live in, you know. So, I don't know. That's an easy...
There are so many photos of really nice meals and really cute avocado toast on Facebook and Instagram. So, I think that phenomenon of addiction to social media does fuel... A millennials kind of need
overspending.
To spend, yeah, overspending to kind of show off on the Facebook.
I have a hard time believing that we live in a world where a piece of bread with some fruit on it is considered extravagant and decadent and a waste of money.
Interesting. Jessica, what do you think here?
I think people forget that there's been a trend toward healthier food, and younger people have been the ones to kind of embrace that, and healthier food tends to be more expensive.
I agree with that. Healthier food is more expensive.
That is true, and that's a problem. All right. Okay, well, let's move from, and let's see if we have 2 minutes left to see if we can lightning round this. There's a yacht called The World. It is 644 feet long. It has a full-size tennis court, 7,000-square-foot spa, 12,000 bottles of wine in the wine cellar. It is the only floating condo development in existence in the world. And residents all have to have a net worth of at least $10 million. You can get on it by invite only. Lightning round, would you want to live there?
No way. They sound insufferable.
All the residents?
Yeah, absolutely. To live somewhere where you have to have a certain amount of money and all that kind of stuff. I want diversity. I want other kinds of people around me.
Jessica, would you live there?
No, we don't even know what kind of wine it is.
Ah, true.
I think it's not 10 buck chuck. HBCHO?
I would seriously think about it if I had that kind of money. I have no reason to think millionaires are not uninteresting people. And why not?
I would never want to live there, although I would love to take a tour and interview the people who do live there.
I would go for vacation.
Right.
Yeah, like
have a vacation.
Take a week.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
A week, maybe a month. Sure.
Yeah,
especially
month.
If they got to a place in the ocean where there's no cell signal.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
absolutely.
That be sound? Doesn't that sound relaxing? Let us know whether you would live on the World Yacht or not. We did get a picture of Todd Reams' dog, Dolly. He tweets, Dolly disapproves of the idea, I think, of dressing up your pets, but she'll pray for them. we are out of time in the break room today. Thank you to all my guests, Kathy Lohr, former NPR correspondent, Robbie Medwed, LGBT educator and activist. Jessica Szilagyi is a Savannah-based writer and blogger, and H.B. Cho is a reporter for The Korean Daily. Thanks to all of you.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
And that's our show for today and for the week. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great weekend.